Around 12,000 years ago, hunter-gatherers began to settle in one place and farm the land. It is widely thought to be the first time the human population began to grow at a faster rate. However, a recent study published in the scientific journal PNAS is challenging that idea. Harvard astrophysicist Gibran Zahid was the head author of the paper. Co-authors Professor Robert Kelly and Eric Robinson from the University of Wyoming looked at radiocarbon dates to determine the population size of hunter-gatherer communities in Wyoming and Colorado. Wyoming Public Radio's Caroline Ballard sat down with the two archaeologists.
Professor Kelly, can you tell us a little about some of the research you two have done that went into this new study on population growth?
Just a couple of years ago, we did another study just in northwestern Wyoming, where we looked at the relationship between radiocarbon dates and climate. And the reason we did that was we were using the radiocarbon dates as a measure of the size of human population over time. And we found this very tight relationship between climate and the number of radiocarbon dates for any given unit of time. So it suggested that climate had a very strong influence over the size of the Aboriginal population. An offshoot of it was this discovery that the rate of population growth appeared to be about 0.04%, which is really quite small, and it appeared to be similar to what other people had found in several other places in the world, regardless of whether they were dealing with an ancient hunting and gathering population or some of the early agricultural populations.
And that's a little bit different from what people had originally thought or thought before. Is that right, Eric?
Absolutely. The common knowledge is that when you have an agricultural surplus, your population will rise due to that surplus. You're not as determined by the local environments that you live in. This is common knowledge. So it's very counter to that.
With this discovery that you have made, how does this change how we look at human history?
Sometime in the 19th century, largely as a product of industrialized agriculture and a whole series of medical advances, we know that the rate of population growth really picked up. The world's population around 1850 stood at 1 billion people. Well, we're not even 200 years later, and we're well over 7 billion people. So, we've more than doubled and doubled again the human population. So there's a big change in the 19th century. Some researchers argue that the first change was with agriculture. We're not so sure that that's correct, that the only big change in human demographic history occurred in the 19th century.
What kind of implications does this have as we enter into a new sort of understanding about climate and how it impacts population rates?
Well, probably the most surprising result is not only related to population growth rates being similar regardless of whether or not you're talking about hunting and gathering peoples or agricultural peoples. The other thing is that regardless of localized or regional environmental changes, this same growth rate is maintained. So we either are looking at some internal biological mechanism which is causing mortality rates to kind of put fertility rates into check, which creates a long-term equilibrium for that population. The other issue could be that it's a more larger scale, more interregional scale climate changes that occur maybe on hemispheric scales. So really, this result shows that people are, at least during these periods of time, people are less susceptible to what's going on in their regional or local environments.
Where do you hope to take this study going forward?
Well, what we'd like to do is construct this database first for the Western United States and then eventually for the entire United States so that we can look at both variation over time and over space for the entire North American continent. We'll have the ability to look at how the density of human population is changing, so we should be able to see if people are abandoning large regions and moving into neighboring regions, and understand how that relates to long-term climate change and some other variables as well.
One advantage of looking at long time series, and you asked the question earlier about, you know, what this means about our current realities in climate. We have a very short window when we look at historical records. We have a window of about 150 years, 200 years. And obviously, there's certain records in Europe that go way back, sort of medieval documents, things like this. But we have a very limited scale at which we can look at temporal change through time. So one thing that's very valuable with looking at long series of radiocarbon dates is that we can take certain regions and we can look at human adaptations to climate change in those different regions. And if we project this forward, we can say, okay, if we have a certain drought in the Great Basin or drought in Wyoming, where's the population going to go, right? What neighboring region would have the kinds of resources that would sustain the populations we have in Wyoming or in the Rockies or the Great Plains right now? It's a good time for archaeology. We have something very valuable to be able to contribute to multiple disciplines that are trying to look at the responses of holistic biodiversity.
Professor Robert Kelly and Eric Robinson, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.